Max Galesburg Symphony coming up this Saturday night at the Orpheum Theater. The guest conductor joining us here this morning is Brendan Townsend, maestro. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming in with us this morning. Well, you're a very well-traveled gentleman, and you're going to be here, I guess. I don't know. As a conductor, do you call it performing or just conducting?
I conduct the musicians perform. It's a very good question, actually, because, yeah, some people say, well, yeah, you're here to perform. But I don't make a sound. You know, it's a funny thing. You kind of... You rely. I look good on the poster.
But you have to, right?
But I don't make a sound. I mean, I turn my back to the audience, and me and the musicians hopefully communicate. And I felt last night at the first rehearsal, it was there was a good communication happening between the podium and the musicians. That creates a synergy and an energy, and brings the music alive. And that then breaks through that invisible wall that exists between audience and stage. And so I think you'll find on Saturday that there's really good energy on the stage, yeah.
Well, I think it's interesting and an interesting dynamic, and maybe can cause issues that sometimes that a conductor feels that maybe they are the focus, and that, and I get
that,
I
is very true.
Bigger symphonies and conductors who are very, very well known, maybe that that they are the show. Does that happen?
Absolutely, all the time. And you know, it's very easy to believe your own press, you know, because when you know you get a review that says, Townsend led the symphony through program X, whatever, and it was very, very well read, and the tempos were. Well, you know, I've played in orchestras where the conductor really believed their own press, and it's not a fun experience to be a musician in that kind of a situation. Really, this is about the musicians. You know, people say, oh, he's the music director of such and such, or he's Maestro Townsend or whatever. It's not about us. It's about the musicians. And so, you know, when now that said, a music director is a position within the community that is very important, playing a very important role in being the face of the orchestra, being the face of the community to the orchestra, sort of being interactive and finding out what does the community want from their orchestra, because it's your orchestra, not you know, the orchestra doesn't exist because they think they're important. They exist because the community thinks it's important.
You know, we were talking about that earlier, the audition process, that every one of you that comes in and conducts are talented as a conductor. But it's about so much more than that. As you said, it's about the community involvement and the direction that people want the symphony to go.
Exactly. And you know, I asked the board when we had a chat the other day, I said, what are you looking for from your music director? And that was the thing that came up. It was like, we need to create a new identity for ourselves, and we're looking for the music director to set that tone. So that's an interesting challenge, and it's one that, you know, I would perfectly be delighted to accept. I mean, in the couple of days that I've been here, you know, I've gone around, I've looked, and it's Carl Sandburg this, and we can link it into Lincoln here, and you've got the railroad, and you've got, there's so many ways to link the orchestra to the community. I'm a huge believer in the engagement process, and that, you know, coming to a symphony concert should be an experience. It's not just come in and sit back and listen and go, oh, that's nice, that was pretty. And it's not about being pretty. It's about, you know, engaging with the community. It's about creating a situation where somebody feels like they've been on a musical journey, and they come away feeling enriched by the whole experience. So
Maestro Brendan Townsend joining us this morning. He'll be conducting the Knox Galesburg Symphony this Saturday night. You may have noticed, you may or may not have noticed a little bit of an accent, and that's, of course, because Brendan lives in Texas. Or maybe not. Maybe it's because you were born in Ireland.
In Ireland. Or maybe it's because I was born and reared in Ireland.
There's that.
And then went to Germany, and then went to the Netherlands, and then went to Texas.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, the Irish accent in you there. Well, talk a little bit about your upbringing. You came from a very musical family.
I did indeed. Yeah, I'm the fourth generation of conductors in my family.
Wow.
Actually, first one to do it professionally. My dad was a professional musician, but conducting was not his main gig. He was a teacher, music teacher, but he conducted choirs, conducted light opera. He had taken over from his father, who had conducted choirs and light opera, and his father, who was English, had taken over from his father in Skipton in Yorkshire. So it's a long legacy. But, you know, mom and dad have three sons, and to each one of them, they sat us down and said, you know, please don't become a musician. please, you know, think bigger. Be a lawyer. Be a business person. We all became musicians.
Oh wow. Well, I was going to ask that question if you were kind of pushed that direction, because you started very early in cello at music school at what, 5 years old?
Yeah. Well, now when you say the Cork School of Music, you got to understand that was an extracurricular program. Oh, okay. It wasn't like I attended a conservatory from that age.
Okay.
But I started taking cello lessons at five. I played chamber music and orchestra and took my oral training and all those subjects after school, and then immediately after I graduated high school, I went straight into music college at the Cork School of Music, where I did my undergraduate, and then went to Germany for a year and did my master's in the Netherlands. And that way, and I went to the Netherlands because I had originally planned to go to a college in England, but they would only allow me to study either cello or conducting. I couldn't do both. So I didn't want to, at 19, 20 years of age, you're not ready to make that kind of a life-changing decision. So I've went to the Netherlands where I could study both, and I'm still doing both. I'm teaching cello, I'm teaching, performing as a cellist, and I'm conducting. So it's the best of both worlds in many ways, yeah.
Maestro Brendan Townsend joining us here this morning. He'll be conducting the Knox Galesburg Symphony this Saturday night. At what point in your life do you make that decision? I'm a musician, I love to play. But I would like to conduct. And did that stem from your father and grandfather having conducted as well?
It may. You know, I do have vivid memories as a kid of being, you know, brought along to rehearsals because mom was singing in the opera chorus or whatever. And so we would be brought along and thinking, oh, gee, the guy with the white stick has all the power. And then, you know, I became a real musician and discovered that it's the musicians have the power and the conductor only thinks he does. But when did I decide? I decided quite early, but I don't know, I was about 13 or 14 when I decided I really wanted to conduct. It's not that I didn't want to play the cello, but I did want to conduct. I formed a chamber orchestra with my friends in college who indulged me quite prolifically. But that was when I really learned that they had all the power, because at a certain point in the middle of rehearsal, I'd be getting very serious and they'd all just down tools and say, break time!
Yeah, without musicians, the conductor can't do anything.
Exactly.
Right?
So, you know. I started the first orchestra I conducted was that chamber orchestra, and I was about 19 at that point. And then I had the joyous experience of doing the Mikado with the Cork Gilbert and Sullivan Society when I was 19. And I remember walking into the first chorus rehearsal and saying, does anybody know the Mikado? And from the back of the bass section, I hear this, I sang it with your grandfather.
Wow.
So it was kind of fun. There are many people who do both. And you know, I really firmly, there are also plenty of people who give up their main instrument just to focus on conducting. But I really believe that you kind of have to do both, because you have no authenticity with the musicians if you can't sit down and demonstrate that I could be sitting where you are right now and here's how I would play it.
Yeah, I think that's very important. You have to kind of understand what they're going through as a musician.
Exactly. Yeah. And also it gives you that sense of honesty, because you also know what really frustrates them in a rehearsal. So you just kind of, you know, you have it from both sides.
So what is the mindset that you, because I guess if you're not a musician, you can't totally understand where they come from, but I guess that passion for whatever you do, I guess you can kind of understand that from a musician and they're actually making music. What do you get, what is it inside you that you get out of being a conductor and being in front? Is it getting everything to come together and work as one, or?
Well, it's like playing an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Our job as a musician, any musician, doesn't matter whether you're Brooks and Dunn or whatever, your job is to bring the music to life in what you believe the composer wanted. So our job is to recreate what was in the head of the composer. So the conducting is just playing a bigger instrument. You've got a lot more moving parts, but ideally, you have an image in your head of what you think the composer wanted. You show that non-verbally and through your hands and hope that the musicians sort of get your interpretation, and then they bring their musicianship to the table and they add their little 2 cents worth or 20 cents worth or 99 cents worth and say, hey, you know. And so, like, for instance, in the last movement of the Beethoven, there's a wonderful oboe solo towards the very end. And, you know, I can have an idea in my head as to how I think it should sound. But then the oboist, who is actually going to be playing it, has an idea in her head how she wants it to sound. and maybe her idea is better than mine. You know, it's, I know, wow, what a revelation.
How could that be?
Yeah. You know, conductor admitting that they might be wrong. But, you know, a great friend of mine has this saying that best idea wins. And if what the musician is that is in front of you plays something that sounds better than you had in your head, then you let them do it that way. If it doesn't sound what you think the composer wanted, then maybe you make a suggestion and guide them. But ultimately, they're the ones that are going to play it. So, you know, as I said earlier, the power lies in the hands of the musicians.
Maestro Brendan Townsend joining us this morning. He'll be conducting the Knox Galesburg Symphony this Saturday night. Let's talk a little bit about the concert Saturday night, Orpheum Theater. What can people expect? What are we going to hear Saturday night?
Okay, so we're going to open with a piece by the Iowa composer from Des Moines, Linda Robbins Coleman. She's a wonderful lady. I came across her music about 10, 14 years ago. As I want to do, I scoured the internet for new music that is going to have immediate audience appeal. I'd say, the new music gets a bit of a bad rap at times. But there's plenty of it that is really tuneful, that is very much influenced by the movie music at the moment. And from about 1990 through to today, composers have realized they can no longer get away with writing squeaky door type music. And so Linda wrote this piece called For a Beautiful Land, which is very much in this celebration. It was written for the celebration of Iowa, but it tells the story of this part of the world. And I thought it would be very appropriate thing. Linda's over in Des Moines, and she's going to come to the concert, which is a neat thing, because, many people go to a concert and they've never heard of the composer. They have no idea. They have no relationship with it. Well, now you're going to see the composer physically in front of you, telling you the story of this piece. And it's a three-part piece about, growing up, her life growing up in Iowa. And her background, she has a background in jazz piano. So that kind of comes out a little bit. So it's a beautiful little piece. It's about 10 minutes. And then we're going to follow that with two arias, Punchielli from La Gioconda, and then Adriana Lecouvre by Chile, two Italian composers. And these are two stories of two very strong, heroic women that play these mezzo-soprano roles in their relative operas. And a third one that we'll do after a bit of Corelli, we're going to do some Corelli just sort of as a sorbet, because those are two very intense arias. And Alison Moyth is our mezzo-soprano soloist. Beautiful, rich, intense, typical Italian romantic opera. So, just to balance that out, we'll do a little bit of Corelli. Just to kind of cleanse the palate before we go into Verdi's Il Trovatore. And then the second half of the concert is Beethoven's epic symphony, the third symphony, the Eroica, which really marked, shall we say, the change from it was the very end of the classical period. When that piece performed in 1803, it sort of marked a new beginning for musical world. It's, a lot of people will say, well, it's the heroic symphony. It was original, that Beethoven had Napoleon Bonaparte in the back of his head. That's not entirely true. If you go back through his writings, he was really writing about Prometheus, the Greek god, and he had written a ballet about the creatures of Prometheus, and then he used a theme from that to write a set of piano variations, and then he used another theme in one of his other, to write a concertant, and then he kind of pulls it all together by the time he writes the third symphony, and the first movement is very heroic, the slow movement is a funeral march, and people say, because in his writings he says, this is the story of a great man. He doesn't say who it is, great man. But, so who is the great man that is being buried is it mankind itself? Well, really what he was doing was Beethoven would have loved to have moved to America if he knew about America at the time, 1776. Now we're talking 25 years later. In Vienna, they didn't have the freedom, equality, and liberty that had been guaranteed here in the States or in the French Revolution, which Bonaparte was a huge leader of. So there's the funeral march. Maybe he's thinking of, let's the death of human spirit. And the third movement is a lighthearted scherzo. And then in the final movement, he kind of brings all those ideas together, and it's really a story about life. It's a continuous set of variations, and the continuous evolution that life should be, the journey that we all go on every day. And so even in rehearsal last night, I started with the last movement because I believe that's where it all comes together. We can put all our energy into that first movement, but the fourth movement sort of brings it all together. And it truly, you have to enter into a mental space where you can say, okay, let's go on this journey. And then what a journey it is, really.
Maestro Brenson Townsend joining us here this morning. He'll be conducting that and all those pieces with the Knox Galesburg Symphony coming up Saturday night at the Orpheum Theater. Talk about the mindset for you as a conductor. Is it completely different than you as a musician going in to play a piece?
No.
Same thing.
Not being flippant, but right, it's not. I suppose as a player in a symphony, we mistakenly may often go in and we check our musicianship at the door. We just say, all right, we'll go in and wait to see what the maestro is going to tell us to do. But I'm kind of the flip side of that because I am a regular performing player. I want the players to be actively engaged in the creative process as much as if I was sitting down to play a cello sonata, I would want the pianist to be actively engaged in the creative process. And between us, the two of us would create this reenactment, as it were, of what we believe was in the head of the composer. Here we just have 70 people doing it. So I take the approach, though, that you know, I really want the musicians to come in and treat it like they're in charge, not me. And together, my job then is to kind of herd the sheep and bring it all together.
Brenson Townsend will be conducting the Knox Galesburg Symphony on Saturday night. Before we wrap up, we'll talk a little bit more about your background, your travels. Interesting journey you've been, as you said, growing up in Ireland, schooling there, and also in Germany and the Netherlands. You've traveled all over the United States, either working or as a guest conductor, and now make your home at this point in Texas and working at Texas A&M International University. Talk about your travels and how you ended up where you are now.
Oh, how much time have we got? You know, everybody has a journey. Everybody has a story, backstory, and mine is probably not more interesting than anybody else's, but I came out of college in the Netherlands. I'd already gotten married to an American service lady in the United States Army. So my first job was actually working for the Army as an events coordinator, believe it or not. We decided that we were going to move to the States. She was getting out of the military, and we said, well, whoever gets a job first, that's where we go. And I got a job in San Antonio, and that's where I went. So I was the music director of the youth orchestras in San Antonio. I then, after three or four years there, moved to the Bryan Symphony at Tennessee Tech University in Cookeville, Tennessee. And that was a temporary position. And when that job was beginning to come to a close, I was looking around, would I go to grad school or would I go look for another job? And this job in Laredo came up. It was a split position between the Laredo Philharmonic and music director of the Laredo Philharmonic and teaching position at the university. And I contacted some friends of mine who I had played with when I was in Texas. And I said, you know, would I like that job? And so I went to Texas and said, well, I'll take this job in this podunk small city on the Mexican border, and I'll stay for three or four years. And then things just kind of happened. I had some very meaningful human experiences with people who had been to concerts, and I kind of realized that we as an orchestra could make a real difference in people's lives and in people's communities. So I just continued to stay, and here it's been 16 years now, and I'm still there. And next month we're going to be hosting a day of action with Yo-Yo Ma, who came to us whose office came to us and said, well, he's doing this Bach project where he goes around to 36 different cities around the world. And the only one he was going to do in Texas, there was Dallas and Houston and San Antonio were all fighting to host that. And he said he would go to San Antonio because with every concert he does, also does this day of action where he gets the community to create a day and have a conversation around the importance of culture. Not the arts, culture. And he said he would come to San Antonio if he could hold the day of action in Laredo. Wow. So they contacted me and said, would we host it? And so we have that project coming up in April. And it has been a fascinating journey to just see how the community has come together around this project. I mean, just last night after rehearsal, I was catching up on email. And, there were people, we have a committee, quote unquote committee, of 70 people from all sorts of walks of life in the city that want to have this conversation about how culture connects us. So yeah, I've said that's hence the reason I've been in Laredo so long. But in the meantime, I get to go around and guest conduct in different places. Not very regularly. I do kind of limit it because I do have a full-time teaching job. But it's fascinating to, you know, the difference between conducting an orchestra in North Dakota and conducting one in Florida. You would think it's
the weather.
It is just the weather. Oh, that's okay. The problem, you know, because people's attitude changes with the weather.
Yeah.
And you know, you're down in Florida, everybody's happy and all the rest of it. But it's hard to make them take certain things seriously. You go up to North Dakota, it's hard to get them to lighten up. Yeah. So but music being the unifying force that it is, and musicians, if they are true musicians, will aspire to play the music as the heart of the composer wanted it. And so, you know, they might come in after you know, shoveling snow for hours and come into rehearsal and their hands hurt and they're cold and at the same time, here you are, like I did a Mendelssohn Italian symphony in North Dakota one time, and that was the experience. You know, this is a sunny piece and here they are coming in after shoveling snow. The heart of music cuts through everything.
Yeah, I hope it brings that sunshine.
Absolutely.
A little bit. Right.
Yeah.
Brendan Townsend, Maestro Brendan Townsend, will be conducting the Knox-Gillsburg Symphony again this Saturday night, 7 o'clock at the Orpheum
7:30.
Theater. 7:30 Orpheum Theater. And you can contact the Orpheum box office, get your tickets there. Also online, go to the Orpheum's website.
Or kgsymphony.org.
Knox-Gillsburg Symphony, kgsymphony.org. You can do that as well. So, well, Brendan, I want to thank you so much for taking some time with us this morning.
Thank
Very
you, Tom.
Interesting stuff.
Really enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it as well, and thank you so much. Best of luck on Saturday night.
Well, wish the musicians luck.
There you go. You'll be in control. You'll be fine, right?
I know what I'm doing. I just have to go floor, ceiling.
Oh, come on. There's got to be more to it than that.
No, I was teaching sixth graders how to conduct yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. All right. Brendan, thank you so much. Appreciate it.